This hour of Overdrive is powered by Muskoka Woods. This summer, let your child experience an overnight camp like no other. Let the adventures begin at MuskokaWoods.com.
The suit jacket with the sporting tee with your favorite beatball team day. I didn't know that was a thing.
That is a thing. Wow.
That's right, man. The champs, they're playing tonight. I love this shirt. Got this shirt for Christmas. All right, there was a little bit of peer pressure. My wife got it for me.
Yeah, but just wear the shirt. You don't need to try to dress it up and sport it.
It's like wearing a pajama top with a tux.
I don't think so. I mean, it's a legitimate shirt, dude. This is called style. Like, look at that shirt. Honestly, up it on TSN 4. I know we're on radio right now.
It's fantastic, but I don't know if the colors go.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I got a dark gray jacket on. It's a light gray T-shirt. It's one of the caricature shirts where every member of the team is represented. I think in like 20 years, this is really going to be a cool shirt. And it's a little bit weathered, and I've worn it for a long time. But I got it for Christmas. It's been sitting in my room. I haven't worn it yet, right?
Yes.
And I had a different outfit prepared for today. And I thought, you know what, I'll try it on. And I put it on, and my wife was excited. And I said, do you think I can pull this off with a jacket? She said, go for it. So here I am.
And we opened the show with it.
Well, that wasn't my intention. I mean, I didn't care to even mention it once, but I decided why not. You brought it up.
I love it.
What's wrong with this shirt? It's a Raptor
T-shirt. You just might as well have fired up a ball cap, too. Screw it. Go all in.
That's the Larry David look.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that look?
I love it. Believe me, if I could wear a ball cap today, this is a day where I just have Overdrive. I don't have TV or anything else. I would like to wear a T-shirt and a hat.
You could. I mean, nobody's stopping you.
I know, but I feel like there should be a level of presentation. Should there not?
Yeah,
we are on TV.
I tend to agree with that. Yeah.
There should be a level of presentation. I've got a long story, but I need both of your advice on this because I've lost sleep since last Thursday about what went down. So you guys remember that stretchy suit?
Oh, yeah, the black one. It was beautiful. You wore it all the time. It
had Hugo Boss.
Yeah.
I bought it. $1,000. Unbelievable. I could do the splits in it because the pants are so comfortable. I wore it for about a month. I would just hang it up, let it air out. I said, you know what? It's about time I get it dry cleaned.
No, you didn't.
So I take it to the dry cleaners, and I flat out, I warn the lady. I'm like, this is a special material, stretchy suit. Please be careful. No problem.
It fits Quinn now.
So I get my 8 shirts back and my 4 suits. I pack for St. Louis Wednesday night. I'm leaving Thursday morning. You don't try everything on because you assume.
This is my stuff.
I've been going to this place for 18 months. I get to St. Louis. I'm running a bit late because I ran into some Stop and Chats. They're like, we need you in the lobby right now. I go to put this thing on. 6 inches. The pants were like this. Like, I'm like, what the hell? Like, this could have fit a Barbie doll.
That is so annoying.
I rush out because I'm like, to hell with it. Maybe it'll stretch out. Maybe it'll breathe.
Right.
I get into the cab with Frank Saravelli and Ryan Rashog. They're like, what's going on here? Like, what kind of look is this? Because I'm trying to, like, pull it down. So I do my hits. But in the car, I'm calling this lady. You shrunk my shirt. You shrunk my pants, everything.
And there's nothing she can do. She's in Toronto.
Yeah,
you're in St. Louis.
She's buying you a new one.
Well, that's
it.
So
good luck
That's my point.
Good luck.
So I said, this is Thursday. I said, I will be there Monday at 10 a.m. I'm calling a game in Ottawa yesterday. I changed my flight so I could go see her first thing at 10 a.m. when they opened yesterday morning. You know
Tell
she
me
said?
She didn't open. I would have been so great if she changed her hours. She knew you were coming in.
Now
I show
open
up.
Noon on Monday.
Yeah, sorry, couldn't make it at 10 a.m.
I show up. She doesn't remember the phone call, doesn't remember who I am.
Yep.
And then says, we didn't do this. I said, what are you talking about? So I try it on for her right in front of her. She goes, that suit doesn't fit you. I go, thank you. You did this. You know what she said? She goes, no, we didn't. My word versus hers.
How are you going to prove it?
So I go, well, why would I buy a suit like this, this small? She calls the guy. She goes, okay, I'll take your phone number. I'll call because they farm it out.
Right.
I land in Ottawa. She calls and she goes, we went back on the camera and that's not the suit because the one you gave me didn't have a crease in the front. I'm like, I had to wear it in St. Louis.
Right.
I had to wear it. That's why there's no crease. That's what you're worried about, a crease? So now...
In other words, you're not getting anything. You're not going to get a penny out of this place.
I don't know what
you're
to
not.
Do. I'm so upset about
you're
it. It's a $1,000 suit. And where's the justice?
Like, there
has anybody had any run-ins with dry cleaners that give me advice? Like, what do I do?
The only run-ins I've had where I blame people for losing one of my shirts and then I find it like a week later, stuffed behind a seat in my car or in the trunk.
Yeah, that's human.
But they're not going to do anything. They're not.
No, there is. I mean, I guess technically you could bring them to court, but you're not going to do that over a suit.
Yeah. I'd like to sue them,
Judge Wapner. People's court.
Yeah, I guess you could, but even then, I if they're just going to say there's no proof that you dropped this off, because that's the thing about dry cleaning. You throw your bundle of clothes,
right?
You count through, and then you leave. There's no detail like this is a Banana Republic shirt
right.
with this pattern.
With a try-on to say how it fits.
Right, there's nothing. It's just an element of truth, an element of honesty that
right.
comes with the transaction. And there's nothing you can do.
And
for whatever reason, in that specific line of business, they have all been trained. They have PhDs.
In denial. I'm not lying.
They'll never admit to it.
I've never been that upset. And I think it's because...
I've never seen you happier than when you wore that suit. You were stopping people in the hallway and doing squats.
Check it out. Stretchy.
Watch this lunge.
That's what bothers me is I couldn't care less if it was a suit that... You know, it was almost a throwaway. This is one that I went out, I purchased myself, and I was quite proud of.
Right, it's
There's
a great
There's only one
suit.
Way to get around this, and this is what I do. If something
Throw
like
a brick through her window?
I wouldn't suggest doing that, because that you will get caught.
That. Okay, that
you have to,
I won't do that.
This is what you have to do. You have to just go buy a new one and forget it ever happened, and you got to find a new dry cleaner. And don't ever take the suit back to the cleaners again. Because once you get the new suit, you get it fitted, you got it on again, you'll forget about the nonsense. Because you're not getting anything back from her. She's not paying for it. Sometimes you just got to go buy a new one and chew on it.
I have to agree with him on that. I don't think there's anything you can do.
No.
They're not even going to admit.
Where's the integrity?
How would you accept them admitting to fault?
Yes.
Like, no payment.
Right.
But at least
Sorry,
they look you
up.
In the eyes and say, that was the suit. We knew the second we got it back, 100% we ruined it.
Okay.
It's on us. And free dry cleaning for the next month.
You might
whatever,
not even
you know
get that.
Mean?
Just get a new dry cleaner and forget it ever happened.
Yeah, I think you just got to get out of the business. It's brutal. And I guess it's maybe a lesson. Like, just don't get your suits dry clean. Like, you're not working out in them or anything.
I know, but...
It's a black suit, even if you got stains.
Yeah, but we sit in hot studios. I sit here sweltering sometimes from 3 in the afternoon till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
that suit needs to be dry cleaned. Exactly.
Clean.
Like that, you know, that is... We work with people. There's a level of hygiene.
Yeah.
Like, what frustrates me about this, I called somebody today who is in our company who owns a dry cleaners, their family. And I said, give me your advice on this. And he said, Jamie, they must have put the heater on too high. I said, well, you think? I feel like it was in the dryer or something for months.
Yeah.
And...
Well, what's your suit made of? Is it made of cotton or something? Is it
no.
a Fruit of the Loom shirt?
You guys saw it.
It was a
high-end Hugo Boss suit, which I was quite proud of.
Beautiful suit.
I don't like to go there or brag, but this one was
beautiful.
Probably one of my higher-end situations. And
like a microfiber or something.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. But it felt like a Lululemon. It was so comfortable. And the fact that they tried to turn it around on me and said, we went back on the cameras... And when we handed it to you, it had a crease. When you brought it back, it didn't have a crease. That was their defense.
Right.
I said,
I'm telling you, you gotta.
I think
just like
screwed.
When Maverick threw Goose's keys into the water, and you gotta move on. You gotta go buy a new one, and that's it.
Yeah, it's so defeating. It is defeating because you're a man of principle and integrity and honor, and it was a great suit. But I think you're screwed, man. It's the weirdest transaction going. Here's my clothes.
Yeah.
You have my number, I guess.
Yeah.
So and even the timeline. Yeah. The best thing about a dry cleaning.
Next Thursday.
Think you could come by next Thursday? No, I need it tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow then. Like there's, you know what I mean? Like they were literally. Why do they need a week and a half originally? And then when you call them on it, they're always like, Yeah, fine. In an hour, if you need it. I don't. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It's so upsetting.
Like, why? Like,
you know how when somebody gets one over you on you and you feel like there's nothing? But, like, you're right. I would just like an apology. We made a mistake. It happens. You know, we'll try and rectify it. Like, they're going to lose my business. I've been going there 18 months.
You could sewer the spot. You could do the
I have my receipts. I have cameras in my house, as you guys know, of me taking the suit out of my car.
Right. a camera off. That's what it should be. Right here on Overdrive, Owen and I will be Judge Wapner. The two of us could play that role. Yeah. We'll get the woman from the dry cleaning to come in. This would actually be a great bit.
Here's how crazy.
You versus her on Overdrive.
Here's how crazy I was thinking last night before I was going to bed.
Why don't we call her up and see what she's got?
No.
It's not a bad idea.
I will say this. When I went in, I don't know if this is right or wrong. When I went in to confront her politely, I knew there was going to be no swearing or anything. I taped the conversation.
Look at you. Look at you.
Because I didn't want
James Bond.
I didn't want
of the dry cleaning.
I didn't
role.
Want it to get to a point where, like, oh, this guy threatened us or did.
Right.
I spoke nicely. I was firm in my resolve.
It's actually a pretty smart idea to. But how warped is that? That you think you've got to watch your back? Like, they ruined your suit.
See, yes. I have,
and you're concerned it'll get turned.
Every one of my cleaners, I've always had a friendly relationship where there would be nothing. There would be no. I would just be like, look, this is kind of all jammed up here. And they'd be like, yeah, there's no other way that could have happened unless we did it. We got to get you a new one.
So you've had clothing paid for by...
No, I just said I've had a relationship with all of my dry... Because I always try to find somebody that's
right.
Nice.
Reputable.
And like, my dry cleaner right now is right under my building. Nicest lady you'll ever meet in the world. If I said to her, this is all jacked up because I've never had a problem like this and I only deal with you for dry cleaning, she wouldn't say, oh, I didn't do that. She'd be like, oh, man, we got to fix this.
See, but that's what I thought. I go in there... She knows me
by
name. Hey,
Mr. Jamie.
I'm not lying. She calls me Mr. Jamie.
Yeah, there he is.
Very nice. She has a little bowl of caramels. I always load my pocket up, have a friendly conversation. She likes my car. She likes I have a Tesla. She talks about it.
Is that right?
Like, I've had friendly conversations. The minute that I called her out on it, all of a sudden she doesn't know who I am, and it's firm, and it's because she looked at... What's going on?
I think, let's be honest here. If that's a Randy Rivers suit for $99, she's probably like, here's $100. I don't want to hear about this again.
Yeah.
She probably looked at the tag and said, we're in big trouble.
I brought
here.
The receipt in and said, there is what I bought on November 17th.
We're going to end it on this. There's only one other tactic. You can sit in your car with a notepad and just give her like a side eye and make sure she's looking at you. Like, and you could just act like you're taking notes and then drive away. And then she'll be like, I gotta buy this guy a suit. That's it.
I don't know what to do. I'm very upset about it, but you know
it's
what?
It's an absolute shame.
I know. You know
Rappler,
who's not upset?
There's only one thing left. Get a GoFundMe started.
No, I'm not asking. Believe me.
Get a GoFundMe for the suit.
We'd give that money to charity. This is principle.
Right. We'll either get a new suit or we'll send it to Australia.
Yeah.
We
got
to get the money back.
Something has to give here. We've got to get noodles, some sort of redemption.
I'm going
to
start selling all my old paraphernalia.
I've thought about putting them on blast as far as the name, in Kleinberg, all of that.
Okay, we're getting there. By 7 o'clock, we're going to have full details.
Speaking of paraphernalia, somebody came up to me and said, hey, I bought one of your old hockey sticks. I'm like, oh, yeah? He goes, I'll give it to you if you want. It's one of your old All-Star Game sticks.
No way.
And it says on the stick, 92 All-Star Game.
That's amazing.
And then I looked at the blade, and my old trainer's name was Wally. It said, dear Wally, thanks for everything all over the years. Best wishes. So I guess Wally had a fire sale and just got rid of everything, and I got the stick. I'll show it to you. I'll bring it in here. I couldn't believe he got rid of it.
How do you feel about that? Like
that Wally resold his stuff?
Yeah, I mean, and this is, it's going to put a bit of a somber tone on it, but yesterday we were talking about Kobe Bryant and his parents.
Yeah.
And I guess why they had a big falling out was because his parents sold all his stuff. Like, so he was playing, and they went back and got, like,
trophies and
threw it all up on eBay. And he's like, guys, are you kidding me? And I guess they're like, we're selling everything. And he obviously didn't appreciate that, and it led to a falling out. And I guess eventually they reconciled, and it was all good. But you guys, I mean, I guess would be in a similar position, not with your parents necessarily.
My dad did that to me.
He sold stuff?
No, he just did a favor for somebody. He's like, I just want to let you know. My buddy in Ottawa is having a charity for his grandson's hockey. So I donated something. I go, what would that be? He goes, your Wayne Gretzky autograph stick. I said, what?
Yeah, that one hurts.
I thought it would be like your gold medal. That's why it's disappeared.
No, just your Gretzky
that
stick.
That would have been great.
Your Gretzky stick, it's gone.
Really?
I'm like, Dad, of all the things, could you not have come? That's only one of the only things I wanted.
So if Tim Hortons approached you about doing a commercial where your dad found a Wayne Gretzky stick that he signed for you, I guess you guys would. Yeah,
they'll just have this of my dad going in the basement and grabbing it and going in the truck and driving to Ottawa.
That would be great. Yeah. That would actually that'd be a great commercial for Tim Hortons.
One of my greatest memories was getting that stick, and then just an auction. It's going, it's gone.
And then and one of my worst memories was my dad telling me he sold or he gave
it's
that
gone.
Stick away to a charity.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. Tim Hortons was coming to King City, and Wayne Gretzky was going to be there. Yeah,
and I don't have the stick because my dad just friendly gave it away.
Yeah. Well, it's charitable at the very least. Yeah.
But you got to see this autograph, though. Thanks for everything you've done for me in my career. Jeff O'Neill just was selling it
Wally.
At the back of his garage.
Wally just putting that thing on eBay. You know what's weird about like a transaction like that? Because I was meaning to get into it over the weekend. We had a bunch of stuff. We're just trying to get. We bought a new kitchen table.
Nice.
New chairs and stuff. So we're just getting rid of stuff. My wife throws it up on Kijiji.
Yeah.
Free. Anyone that wants to come and get it.
Yeah, just gotta get it.
Telling you, use furniture. You have to pay people to come and get it. It's unbelievable.
You wouldn't believe how many people wanted to get the table and the chairs. I guess they were some Parson chairs or something.
Yeah.
Which apparently are of high demand. I don't know. I just wanted them out of the house. So we put up free. And yeah. People are writing back, like, asking different questions. I told my wife, I said, just respond with one word.
Yeah.
Free.
Yes.
Like,
free.
No, we're not going to waste our time explaining different things.
Just put them on the end of the road. Put them at the end of your driveway. Somebody will grab it.
You can, but then what if it takes 3 or 4 days? The neighbors are like, what are you doing?
It'll be gone in an hour.
But there are people that pick up, like we talked about, the used crapper at the edge of your block.
But here's what ended up happening, okay? So a man decides, you know, I'll take it, or his wife wanted it, so she sends him to come pick it up.
Right.
Table, 4 chairs, free. And I'm not a Home Depot.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, the guy pulls in. It was as if it was a service.
Right.
Like he was paying me or doing some favor for me. I ended up moving the table by myself, putting the chairs in the van.
No, no. You tell him, like, there it is.
It was the most surreal experience because I'm like, do you realize, like, this was, you're taking this for free.
Right.
I'm not working at a Home Depot here where you are allowed to say, hey, can you put it in this way? Or, hey, watch that, watch this.
We've just given you a $1,000 table for free. When you paid for it, it was probably $1,000.
Here you go. A beautiful table, and thanks for coming to get it. But he's like, no, don't put the chair in that way. And I'm like, are you crazy? Like,
yeah.
We're going to have a fight outside the house over a free table on Kijiji.
That stuff is...
Doesn't shock me.
No, it doesn't. And I know that the Leafs won yesterday.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Positive. Like, this is
all right, let's
positive
come back
Tuesday
and get into a positive
Tuesday. I derailed the show with my vitriol.
No, it's... Hey, listen, we're feeling it. A lot of people are... they're sad about that suit. They remember that suit.
I'm going to get a new one. I've almost reordered a new one. I'm thinking about it.
Leafs in Dallas tomorrow night. Vince Carter, if you can believe it. Supposed to be his last game in Toronto. Or is it? I don't even know. I mean, it doesn't matter. But we'll touch on Vince in the Raptor game tonight. What we saw to the Maple Leafs last night. Rasmus Sandin with a big, big night. That and more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we got a big show this afternoon. Big, big show. I caught up with Jerry Rice, the GOAT himself, the Hall of Famer. And he will be joining us a little bit later in the afternoon. Well, I guess he joined me earlier.
You guys would have been at the same game the other day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he was. I told you what he did before the game. He was on the big screen hyping up. You know, it was some sponsored bit, like the three keys to the game for the Niners to win the NFC Championship. And the place is packed. This is half an hour before kickoff. Must have been 40 or 50,000 people already in there, 70,000 capacity. And he goes, Jerry Rice, I haven't done this in a long time, but to get this place hyped, I'm going to run from one end zone to the other end zone.
Yeah.
So 100 yards, and he drops the mic, The place, it slowly starts to build. He hits the 50. He's chugging. The place is going crazy.
No way.
He gets to the end zone. He starts doing like a dance. It was unbelievable. And obviously, he's a god in San Francisco.
Right, right.
And so anyway, we'll play that a little bit later in the afternoon. A lot of Hall of Famers on the show today. Dominique Wilkins will be on at 5:30 as well. The human highlight reel.
He was awesome.
Unbelievable. One of the great handles ever. The human highlight reel. So he's coming up in about an hour on the game tonight and touch on Kobe and his legacy with him, Vince Carter, what he's seen out of Vince this year in his final year in the NBA. But the Leafs got a big win last night, and it felt like a big win. You know, Nashville's a desperate team. I didn't think Nashville looked very good at all.
They looked terrible, but the Leafs looked good.
The Leafs looked good. The Leafs came out. They were ready to play. We were wondering that ourselves yesterday. Are they going to be mature enough to come off a break and be ready to go? And
yeah, they were.
They looked good. You know, they really did. And I know what happened.
We got to step away from the mature. I know Sheldon Keefe said it. It's just like starting on time with Babcock. He said that once, and it's just like that has developed a life of its own. Let's step away from the maturity thing. They're big boys. They're in the NHL. Let's call it getting the job done. They got through the first 10 minutes. It was a little bit choppy. Then they stepped on the gas, and they dominated that hockey game. Got a little shaky at the end. That's what happens when a team's pressuring, but that's what they needed to do. Freddie Anderson, I didn't really like the first goal, but after that, he was dialed in. He was awesome.
Yeah, he was. And I, even going into that All-Star weekend, I thought the All-Star game was going to be good for Freddie. Like, just the confidence. Like, you know, you went there. Like, it's an ego thing, too. Hey, I'm with the best in the world.
I'm one of the best guys.
Yeah, so I was hoping kind of how it would play out. Like, you know, Freddie didn't get rinsed too much at the All-Star game. Like, yeah, he gave up goals, but so did everyone else. And, you know, it wasn't a John Gibson situation where everyone else gave up two and he gave up nine. He was right there on par with everyone, looked solid, a couple big saves. And he parlayed that right into a solid game last night, and that's what they needed. I think, you know, you get Muzzin back and you get a little bit of, hey, I think there was some desperation in their game and watching it, and went back and watched it last night. Like, they looked, desperate wouldn't be the right word, but dialed in.
I think they're aware of the circumstance.
Yes, that's a good point.
They're aware of the position they put themselves in. They're aware that they have a lot of time to rectify it. 32 games now, you're right there with Florida and Carolina and Columbus and Philly. And you're going to be in that race for a long, long time. Tampa's still kind of in the race. You know, they found a way to push it to overtime and picked up a point last night. But you're within reach of Tampa, Florida, Columbus, Carolina, Philly.
Yeah, you're right.
Toronto. Those are the teams. They're all fighting for two spots in the Atlantic and the two wild card spots. And they needed not just the break to look past that game against Chicago and the struggles, but you needed a win and a decisive win. It's a tough game tomorrow night. Dallas is a good team.
Yeah.
But I thought the story of the game was Rasmus Sandin. I thought he looked really, really solid, like really comfortable. He made pretty plays. He scored a nice goal. Kind of a bummer that your first goal is one where you're not sure if it's going to count.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell everyone on the ice was like, I don't know if that's actually going to count.
Yeah, you're not sure, but I mean they.
But that pass he made to Nylander was a really nice play.
Yeah, like, really he might nice be play. One of those beneficiaries of the World Juniors, because I always wonder, like, what's the benefit of going to the Juniors when you're in a pro atmosphere? Because you're kind of just on a downer. You're like, I got to go play with junior kids. And some guys struggle when they go to the Juniors. But he was the best defenseman in the tournament. And it's just one game. We got to think about that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a real positive game for him, and he opened up people's eyes saying, and you keep giving him what he deserves. You want more ice time, you might get it next game.
Well, and that's where it's going to get interesting for this team between now and the trade deadline. We all know the position of need. Well, there's two of them. They need a backup goalie, and they're probably going to be looking for some help on the back end. And if they do and Sandin ends up going back to the Marlies, so be it. You let him continue to grow. But if he is here and he keeps playing, and he keeps playing well, and he keeps growing and being more and more comfortable.
He'll force his way into that lineup.
And if Riley comes back, you know, I don't know who's going to come out. It may be Cody Ceci. I'm not sure what they're going to do at that point. I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but they're in a position now where he's played his 10th game. The first year has been burned off his contract.
Right.
So now if he is capable of playing and capable of bringing more than five other defensemen or six other defensemen, he's going to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
And he should be in the lineup. So I don't think that's a bad thing either. Make these guys fight for it. You haven't been great all year as a unit. Go out there and perform and play better.
I personally think regardless how he plays, they need to grab another defenseman and somebody who can play critical minutes. If you're a team that, like, this isn't, I know the goal is to win a playoff round, but if you're a team that once you get into the playoffs and you start feeling pretty good, then, you know, this is where inexperience could bite you, you know, and I still believe their position of need is a defenseman who can play top 4 minutes and a backup goaltender, just depth in net, period, just depth.
Right.
So you're right. If Sandin pushes his way through, it doesn't matter. You have defensive depth by adding somebody else. Because you're right. It may push Cody Ceci out. It may push, you know, somebody else farther down in the lineup. Like,
could be another injury at any point.
You're right. And I also think, like, Justin Holt's nice, but I'd still prefer him in a third pairing, personally.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
So then, if you can find somebody who can play in your top four and chew up some of those minutes and be trusted, then you mix and match. Because you do need depth, and that defensive position, as we know, it's so critical because one injury now it upsets the apple cart and matchups and everything. So, regardless of how, if he continues to grow and can give you the top 4 minutes, I still think they need a guy to plug in there as well.
Well, and that was what I found interesting about the panel last night, where Bobby Mack was talking about the players that he perceives to be untouchable. And, like, Pooley brought up a good point. If you're calling about a very good player, guess who they're going to be asking for?
Sandin.
Absolutely. Right. And that's what you should be doing. If you're talking about a package with a team that's building towards the future, he's your number one prospect. He's your number one guy. But Bob indicated that he's untouchable, and obviously there's a parameter to that. I mean, if right. There's a player that's so great that's available, you can trade Rasmus Sandin. But there's also a cap element to it because he's cheap for the next few years. But he included Liljegren in that, that Nick Robertson kid. They don't want to trade another first-round pick
right. Because
they've done that the past 2 years with the Muzzin deal and with the Marleau deal. So at some point, you know, if you're going to make a deal, who do you think we're talking about here?
Well, it's up front. It's up front.
Of course. I mean, we all know it's Kapanen and Janssen, maybe Kerfoot.
Also, go a step further. You need those young guys to play for caps.
On the cheap, exactly.
And for expansion. I was thinking about that this morning. Like, we're not far away from that expansion draft. We're going to be having these chats, like, who do you protect? Who's going to be on the outside? Like, guaranteed, Kyle's going to be sitting there going, okay, you know, when expansion comes, you know, obviously my core is going to be protected, but there's going to be one on the outside that you either have to do something with sooner than later,
mm-hmm.
because you may not be able to protect everybody. That's why I got guys like Sandin and Liljegren, they're going to be on cost control, and depending on how much they've played, they may not actually apply.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a part of it.
That something has to be factored in.
Yep.
As well.
And that's the same thing with a trade. You know, if you're going to make a deal and bring in some guy with like 3 years on his deal, you're going to have to protect him.
Or expose him
one way or the other. So what are you willing to pay for that?
Yeah.
That's a part of it for sure. You were in Ottawa last night, and PK Subban was right in the middle of everything, and he got into a fight with Brady Tkachuk. It didn't go well for PK. And there was a stat circulating online about how New Jersey is being outscored when they're on the power play when PK is on the ice for them.
Well, they gave up two shorties back to back, and that was
like
one of them. He was.
It's not all him.
No.
I mean, it's a team sport, but when he's on the power play, his team is losing like 4-3 or something.
That's not good.
It's horrendous. And because of the market he's in and because of the way that team is playing, he's really been off the radar this year.
He has 11 points.
I thought about this today. Like, I remember the uproar when he was on the market in Montreal when they traded him. In retrospect, now maybe this wouldn't have played out the exact same way. Maybe he would have been more determined. Maybe he would have been in a better headspace, better position. I don't know. But him getting dealt when he was at his peak is the best thing that could have ever happened for his reputation in Montreal because it preserves it. If he was playing like this in Montreal, they'd be running him out of town.
No question.
They would be running him out.
He wouldn't have got Weber for him.
He wouldn't be St. PK anymore. Well, of course they wouldn't get Weber. But the point is, when he got dealt, he was like a borderline god in Montreal. Everyone loved him because he was so much fun. He loved being in Montreal. He embraced the city. He plays with energy, passion, all that kind of stuff. When he got dealt, we all know it, the reaction was almost 100% negative from Montreal.
By the way, it wasn't just all that fluff stuff. I covered that playoff series with the Rangers in Montreal. He was good.
Outstanding. He, really good. He won a Norris.
Yeah, he won a Norris.
Yeah. He was a great, great player in Montreal. But at the time, I'm sure it was heartbreaking for him. It was heartbreaking for the fans to embrace and to understand. But perfect for him in terms of his long-term legacy. Reputation and legacy in Montreal, because he went out on top. Because if he was playing like this in Montreal, that changes your reputation.
Yeah.
People in Montreal aren't dummies. They'd be looking at this saying, what the hell happened to this guy?
By the way, how old is he right now?
He's 30.
Like, he should have another 7-8 years left on it. He turns it back up. This is a one-off. But there's a reason Nashville was like, we'll trade him for almost anything you're willing to give us.
Well, the Fabro kid, like, they've got... Nashville is a defensive factory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think of the... Not only the defensemen that are there, who are fantastic, and Yossi and Ellis and Ekholm, and this Fabro kid, but it's... They let Ryan Suter walk.
They let Suter go. They let Weber go, who's the captain. They let Hamuse go.
Seth Jones.
Like think of
Who has rotated through that defensive core in the last 6-7 years. Like, some real star players.
Right.
Like, and they didn't get... Like, Nashville got pennies on the dollar for PK. Pennies.
This year, when they traded him to New Jersey.
Correct.
Yeah. It was basically a salary dump.
It was a salary dump, yes. But that's where, you know, you're right. His legacy in Montreal is still very high. If you're looking at the player now, and he's been struggling, and it's easy to kick the guy when he's down. But, you know, Shea Weber's been quite consistent outside of the injuries.
Well, he hasn't been, like, dominant or anything. He's had his moments, too. But PK is just, it's not even close.
You would have no idea what he was 5 years
ago. You couldn't make that trade again right now.
No way. No chance. And yes, Weber, you know, Weber's still an all-star and still their rock and their captain.
He's going to age like Chara. Play till he's 38 or 40.
Now, I don't know if Bergevin knew that. I'm not going to pretend like Bergevin knew that PK's game was going to fall off a cliff. I'm not willing to grant him that. But this has been a precipitous drop. I mean, he is a borderline, like, he's not even replacement level player he's playing. Like, he's below replacement, to steal a term from baseball.
I don't know if this to be 100% true. It might be that he's aging and he can't keep up anymore, but I think there's a certain element where he, back at that series I was talking about against the New York Rangers, he was just a hockey player. I think he is so focused on everything outside the game, it's just distracting to him, and his focus on the actual game itself, it's just, I don't know. Or maybe it's physical. I don't know what it is. Maybe he needs to shed 15 pounds and be lighter and more fleet of foot, because he shows in his videos he's got the quick hands and he stick handles like crazy, but his foot speed is just, it's not even close to being there.
Well, the all-out speed, the game is just, as you guys see it every night, it's just blazing fast right now, and I think it's at an all-time high. But there's no timeline. We see it with certain players. Once you hit 30, it's either a drop-off or a gradual. Some guys who are great skaters have been able to have that longevity. Other guys who weren't great skaters but were just very smart players, like a guy like Ron Hainsey. I think Ron Hainsey's a perfect example where I think a while ago people would have been like, well, this guy, you know what, he was almost near the end. And then all of a sudden he goes to Pittsburgh and wins a cup, and then he's a great player and a great mentor here in Toronto. And then Ottawa signs him because they want that veteran leadership, and Hainsey can still play. And he's 38 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some guys age differently, and I hope this is an outlier for PK's sake, just because, you know, the team hasn't gone so well. It wasn't getting that first power play minutes for a while there.
Well, that's why I said, you know, if he stayed in Montreal, maybe he wouldn't be in this position, because he seemed to embrace everything that playing in Montreal represented and meant. I'm sure it's difficult on him to be dealt a couple times, to play in a market like New Jersey
where no one cares
and they're bad.
Yeah.
You know, that's tough. Like, that is tough for anybody, but it is just a really significant drop considering where he was 4 or 5 years ago, where he was at the top of the sport. Like, in terms of a guy you got to watch, you got to see.
I think the season before last in Nashville, he was still getting Norris nominations.
A couple years ago, he still had a decent year. Yeah, he had a good year. I think he had over 50 points.
But here's the thing, though. Like, I think it, even on some layer, it chips away at you when teams move past you. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. They're like, I wasn't a part of the solution in Nashville. I wasn't a part of the solution in Montreal.
It does chip away. I moved around. Like, there's nights where you're like, this team gave up on me, or, they chose to go in a different direction. That's their prerogative. Listen, we can't shed a tear too much. PK makes $9 million a year for another 2 years and has, a great reputation and all that. But, there were flashes last night, and he played with some jam, and he went after a 20-year-old, and this kid doesn't give you an inch either, this Brady Tkachuk.
No, exactly. Like, I'll give both of them credit. They're like, all right, let's go. And they went.
Yeah.
PK was like, let's get after it. So I'm not going to, that's not what I'm talking about, like that detail from the game last night.
No, but just more the bigger picture, where was PK 2.5 years ago compared to
where he is
what
now.
We're seeing last night type of thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And like if he was playing in Ottawa, people in Ottawa would be like, I kind of want to go see him play. Like he was a guy you wanted to go see play. He'd always put on a show.
Yeah.
Ray Ferraro coming up. He called the game in Nashville last night. He'll join us just after 5. The Hall of Famer, the human highlight reel himself, Dominique Wilkins at 5:30. I sense there's some overanalyzing of LeBron James, his Instagram post yesterday. I've seen it down in the States. I've seen it online. We'll get into it a little bit more next. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Coyotes, February 11th, and every day this week we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue: this former Maple Leaf played for 5 other NHL franchises in addition to his time in Toronto. There you go.
Carlo Colaiacovo.
That actually might be it, but he never scored 35 in a year.
No.
That was yesterday's clue, so I don't think Carlo qualifies, but you never know. Find out on Friday.
McGillney. Jersey, Buff, Van, Toronto. That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't know if he went anywhere else.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. Anyway. Well, let the people figure it out. I mean, tickets are on the line. So
that's true.
Do your thing. So the Lakers and Clippers were supposed to play tonight, and the NBA decided to postpone that game. And we talked about that extensively yesterday. I think that's the right call. Treat the Lakers differently than the other 29 teams. You're talking about a franchise that was synonymous with Kobe Bryant that is grieving in the city, and there's a lot of people, I don't know if fans were prepared to be in the building, people working in the building.
I know Marcelo said yesterday he would have played the game to kind of start the healing process, but it's such a big moment. I agree with their decision. Like, just
I'm all good.
Give these people some time to deal with everything.
I'm all good with the Lakers not playing. What I will say, I was thinking about it more last night, watching some of the games and how the players have decided to honor and pay homage to him. What I like about them playing the games on Sunday, with the Raptors game being a perfect example, they let the shot clock run out twice.
Right.
And, other examples throughout the NBA of different teams and different organizations doing different things is that you actually got to see them physically do it as opposed to post something on Twitter or post something on Instagram. And not that there's anything wrong with posting something on social media, but that's the era we live in. And it's just, you're just reading it.
Yeah, I'd rather see them, like, actually live it out and show some...
Exactly. And I'm not saying you want to see, guys, players grieve and go through a tough time, but there's something humane about it. There's something, I think, more special that will last the test of time. Like, okay, these guys actually went out there and did something, and we got to witness it, and they were... It was organic, as opposed to, tweeting it out or something on Instagram or whatever.
I read today, just I think on my way in, that players around the league are already giving up their number, going like, let's make this universally retired. Now, is it 24 or 8 or which are,
It seems like it's both. There was one player that was number 8 and he changed his number to 26.
Right.
So I'm guessing, how many players in the NBA are that number? I don't know. But it feels like that's where it's going.
I'd like to see that. Like,
that's where it's going.
You want to pay... pay respects to somebody like that. I think, you could do that and be fine with that as a league and everyone. Like, that number's off limits. And I don't think any guys would want to. You know what I mean? Like, I know a lot of those players, they chose that number because of Kobe.
Absolutely.
So, You know, I'd like to see that personally.
Yeah, I think that would be a cool gesture. I don't think they're under any obligation to do anything, but that's what I like about it is it does seem like it's driven by self-inflection and them. Yeah, them decide. No one's forcing them. No one, you know, there isn't a sponsor saying, hey, this would be cool. This would put your name out there that much more.
Right, right.
Just do it and let's go.
Yeah.
And that's what's been happening. And I think that that was really, you know, nice to see. I think it was unique. It was humane. But as for Instagram, even with all that said, LeBron James has not had an opportunity to play and step onto the court. He won't do that until Friday night at the Staples Center. But he jumped on Instagram yesterday, and he wrote a message about, you know, remembering Kobe and how hard he's been hit by this news. And, you know, towards the end of the message, he said that, quote, I promise I'll continue your legacy. You mean so much to us all here, especially Laker Nation, and it's my responsibility to put this stuff on my back and keep it going. So I've noticed down in the States, in the content world, like they're trying to, some media members are trying to indicate that, you know, that's a responsibility that is asking too much of LeBron.
Trying to be a good dude and
exactly.
Like, you know what,
and
you're one of the guys I idolized. I'll try to keep it up.
Exactly.
Why do they have to make it more than that?
Because it's LeBron.
Right.
Like that's a perfect example where everything about LeBron, if you can turn it into a debate,
right,
you turn it into a debate.
Like under these circumstances, do people not know better to just leave it as it is? Like,
right.
But there are people that don't like LeBron that are like, well, this guy has to make it about himself. And, you know, that's what the narrative is.
Yeah.
But there's no manual that says, here, this is how you have to grieve a friend. Like, everyone processes it differently. You know, these guys are going through a tough time. Like, this is one where I think people should just let it be and just take it for what it is.
Well, he didn't guarantee a championship either.
No.
Like if he did
and he's
something
dedicated to Kobe, just
right?
Like, let him be.
He didn't. It was. I think he was honestly sitting on his phone, stream of consciousness. I'm going to say something about Kobe because I think LeBron understands the world's waiting to hear from him because of who he is and what he represents and the team he currently plays with. Even if he was still in Cleveland, because it's LeBron, we want to hear from you, but he is the Laker. He knows he is the face of the Lakers now.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he is. Where, in reality, Kobe probably still was in a way, even with LeBron there, because it was Kobe's team. He had been there for 20 years. There was that debate when he showed up, you know, can you ever match Kobe in significance in L.A. and all that kind of stuff, which is a local market debate that they were having. It's not necessarily a national media conversation, but I just feel like with LeBron, if people feel like there's an opportunity to read into it more than it has to be, they will.
Yeah.
And this isn't, you know, I think that's totally fair. He's just saying, you know, your legacy's going to be alive and we're going to keep going and I'm going to wear the colors with honor and pride just like you did for 20 years.
Right.
And I think that's a great message to send out if you're LeBron James.
Yeah,
I don't think it's putting any extra responsibility on his shoulders.
People need to just chill out on that. Like, the guy's just trying to... He doesn't even know how to explain himself.
Right,
he's
exactly.
He's trying to use Instagram as a tool,
yeah.
And people are jumping all over it. It's like, give it a rest.
Yeah, just let him go through the process. And
exactly. Everyone has to process it differently. Like, watching that Jerry West, like, that was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and he put himself out there, too. Like, he wasn't... You know, he did the rounds and wanted, that was his way of showing how much he loved him, was he put himself out there. And it was, that was raw. Like, you know, there was a few times where I was fighting back. If I wasn't crying, I was fighting back tears.
Yeah, listening to people that knew him. I mean, that's another thing. We didn't know Kobe Bryant.
Right.
Like, I know him as a basketball player.
Right.
And then whatever else he was willing to show... But I didn't know the guy. I don't know what he was all about behind the scenes. I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
But there were a number of people that did and a number of people that connected with him. And I don't dispute LeBron was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry West definitely was one of them. Magic Johnson would be another.
Shaq posted that conversation, like them texting back and forth yesterday or a couple days in the morning.
Well, Shaq is a huge part of the Kobe Bryant story. yeah. right? With Shaq and without Shaq and that public divorce, you know, what side are you on? Are you Team Kobe, Team Shaquille O'Neal?
Yeah.
And, you know, the public feud. But as Shaq said, and he's got a podcast, he said it was never true vitriol or hatred or anything like
right.
that. It was just, you know, brotherly love where you get on each other, you chirp each other every once in a while. You have disputes and arguments and... Yeah. That's sports, man. Ego can get in the way. And Shaq said, I had an ego. Kobe had an ego. That's not a surprise. I mean, that's everyone knows that.
Exactly.
But anyway, Dominique Wilkins will join us. He's coming up at around 5:30 ahead of the game tonight. Raptors taking on Atlanta. Get his take on what he's seen out of Vince Carter this year. Vince is 42 years old. He's still playing. Trae Young, who's a starter in the All-Star game. And we'll touch on Kobe Bryant and his legacy a little bit more with Dominique Wilkins. Ray Ferraro coming up in the next hour as well on the Leaf win last night and the Leafs in Dallas tomorrow night. We'll get you a Kasperi Kapanen update as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
This summer, give your child an experience of a lifetime at Muskoka Woods. This overnight summer camp is a place like no other. At Muskoka Woods, you choose your own adventure, featuring over 60 summer arts and athletics activities to choose from. Water sports, media arts, high ropes courses, and so much more. Staff from around the world will ensure your kids learn new skills, make friends, and create memories that will last a lifetime. Muskoka Woods on Lake Rosso, a summer camp experience like no other. Visit MuskokaWoods.com. You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by Muskoka Woods. This summer, let your child experience an overnight camp like no other. Let the adventures begin at MuskokaWoods.com.